Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Our second reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. The King James Version has a period right before this starts, and the New Revised Standard Version has a comma there. I like the period, so I'm picking it up there. This is on page 189 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Good morning, sinners.
Good morning.
You know, there's a lot we don't know about Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. We do know that Galatia was a region in the middle of Anatolia, an area that we would now call Turkey. This region included people that were ethnic Celts, the same type of people, the same ethnic group of people that would find their way to Ireland, Scotland, Britain, Manx, and be part of that Celtic population that was there. Those of you that speak Spanish will also know that Galicia in the Spanish in the Spain includes people that were ethnically Celts as well. So we don't know exactly if Paul was writing to them or to the Roman community in the southern portion of Galatia. We don't know precisely what it is that the missionaries out of Jerusalem have set in motion. We have some ideas, we have some hints, because we're hearing Paul's side of the conversation. I'm pretty sure the missionaries didn't show up with short sleeve white shirts with very thin, narrow ties. But we do seem to have some idea of what it is that they said. There was a TV commercial in the mid-1970s about a cereal called Trix. Does that ring a bell with anybody? And the commercial was the rabbit wanted to be able to eat Trix, and he was always figuring out ways to try to be able to eat the Trix. And the punchline of the commercial was, "Silly rabbit, Trix are for kids." Paul is a little frustrated with the community that is represented by the missionaries from Jerusalem. They appear to have shown up and try to change a little bit the message of what it is that Paul is communicating. It's almost like they're saying, "Silly Galatians, Jesus is only for the circumcised. Silly Galatians, Jesus is only for those who keep high holy days. Silly Galatians, Jesus is only for those who eat kosher." We sang a moment ago there about the nature of Christ has broken down the walls. We're accepted as we are. It's almost like the missionaries have shown up in Galatia and said, "No, we haven't broken down the walls. The walls are as high as they ever were, and they're still there. that you still have to climb over. And this has got Paul upset. We may not know exactly who it is that Paul is writing to. We may not know exactly the nature of what it is the missionaries have said. But just like the Peter Finch character, Howard, got his name up here, Howard Beale in Network. Howard Beale sticks his head out the window and says, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." Paul has walked over to the window and thrown the window open in the form of this letter to the church in Galatia. And he said, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." And he proceeds to lay out the case of where it is that they've gotten it messed up. Now, we could hear this letter and find Paul to be a little problematic in his leadership style. He's angry. He's mad as hell. But I wonder if there's not elements here of where Paul is trying to remind the people of who it is that they are by action rather than what it is that's accomplished through circumcision, through food, through high holy days. I wonder if he's not anticipating what a future writer would say, Madeleine L'Engle, who was a science fiction writer, passed away in the mid-1980s. She writes, "We draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." I wonder if that's not what's got Paul a little concerned. Some of you have been here long enough to know that I have several leadership principles, and the first leadership principle I operate from is love your congregation where they are. Paul is in Corinth, or he's in Thessalonica, or he's in Ephesus. He's somewhere not in Galatia. And he has this idea of these visitors have shown up. These missionaries from Jerusalem have shown up, and they basically have not loved his congregation where they are, and it's made him angry. Having been said, I find Paul to be at times quite gentle, quite loving, quite beautiful, the way he steps out and says, "We need to rethink some things." You think about that passage that we do for many of our weddings out of 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing." It's this beautiful understanding of the fact that we can see when it is that we are out of relationship and we're not letting love be manifest. Anglican theologian named N.T. Wright, called Tom Wright, says that it's important for us to understand what Paul is focused on here. Paul is focused on unity. He's focused on unity to the point that he doesn't want the nature of all of these various relationship kinds of things that are out there to get in the way of the church being the church. And he lays out some here was Jew, Gentile, slave, free, man, woman. But we could, in our own world, we could throw out there other things, legal immigrant, illegal immigrant. We could sit there and talk about straight and gay. We could use all of those too to remind ourselves that what Paul is saying here is this opportunity for us to remember the unity of the church. Wright also suggests that part of what Paul's special message to the Galatians was the fact that he just didn't flap his gums. He just didn't talk about being a Christian. He lived it. He lived it. Again, we don't know precisely what caused Paul to fall into the midst of the Galatian community. We suspect he was having some kind of physical issues. He hints at it in Galatians 4. But somehow during that time with them, he was different than the other traveling philosophers of the day. He was different than them because not only did he talk the talk, but he walked the walk. Paul aroused their sympathy and showed them that he was already living in a different way when compared to other teachers and wandering philosophers that they might have met. Paul was embodying the message he was announcing. The story of Jesus Christ was being recapitulated through Paul's very life. Paul's tenderness, I think, comes through in this particular passage. Earlier there in the passage, we had this clear idea that Paul is indeed angry. Paul is indeed mad as hell. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? But at the same time, he comes back here, and I think he's going to a softer, gentler voice. Softer, gentler voice, which reminds all of them there that they're children of God. A softer, gentler voice, which reminds them of the logic. You've been baptized. You've been baptized into the church. You weren't circumcised then. You weren't keeping high holy days then. You weren't keeping kosher then. Why do you want to set aside what it is that God has already done in you? What is going on here? He echoes often, Paul does. The dean of the Duke Divinity School reminds us that there's echoes all the time. Richard Hayes reminds us all the time that there are echoes in Paul's sermonizing. This is a borderline sermon. In Genesis 4, he will remind the community there of elements of Exodus. He'll remind us of the fact that they've left this place of anxiety. Look, you go to Exodus 1, it's ominous words. There then came to be a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph and his God. And in Exodus 5, the Pharaoh says to Moses, says to Aaron, I don't know your God. You're going to stay enslaved. And that kind of idea Paul will bring back in Galatians 4. He'll remind us in there that there was a time that you were enslaved to another God. And there was a time that you did not know this God. And this God has set you free. Why do you want to go back and be enslaved again? That's what Paul is asking. And I would argue he's asking in a kind, gentle, loving way. I don't believe he's gone over to the window and screamed out at them at this point, I'm mad as hell. And I'm not going to take it. I would say that what Paul is doing is reminding us of what it is that he wants, he believes, he has faith that the church is called to be. He's sitting there talking to the Galatians and saying, you don't get it. You just don't seem to understand. We've come in and we've broken down the walls and you want to make those walls high again. He's saying to them, you know, the first thing you need to do in church is to first invite people in so they can belong to the group first. And then once they belong to the group, you invite them to go to a higher place and deepen that level of their belief structure. And as they do that, they then can maybe become all that God wants them to be in the world. Now, if I had a chance to create a church, and if I'm Paul, if I had a chance to create a church, I would try to maybe make that the vision of this church, to be able to be a church where the vision is to invite people to belong, to believe, and to become. Hilltop's vision of who it is a place to where you can belong, believe, become. I had an epiphany this week. It was quite an interesting. I was looking up all three of those verbs. Looked all three of them up, and all of a sudden something jumped out at me. The verb belong, intransitive verb, to be accepted by other people in a group. The verb to believe, intransitive verb, to accept something or someone as true. To become, intransitive verb, to begin to be or to come to be something special. Huh. interesting. All three of them are intransitive verbs. Now, I don't profess to be some kind of English grammar scholar. I'm not. Now, when I first looked at that, my first reaction was, intransitive verbs are verbs that don't take a direct object. That doesn't help me much as preaching the sermon. But what I also discovered in there was that intransitive verbs, when they're spoken in the voice that they're spoken in, must always be active. There's no passivity in a intransitive verb. Wow. Now that is something we can talk about on a Sunday morning. It's interesting to me that when Hilltop was sitting down and saying, how do we want to pick verbs out to define us? They picked three verbs out that all require that the voice be active. Isn't that impressive? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Wow, that seems like there's some good stuff there that we could use. So as Paul was maybe hoping the church in Galatia could be a church where people are invited to belong and then deepen their knowledge through belief so they could become what God wants them to be and lower those walls that Christ has broken down for us, I wonder if we could ask ourselves sort of the question of how it is that we manifest belonging. I would say one of the things that we do with manifesting the belonging is this hint that Paul was driving at in Galatians. He was reminding them about the Exodus story. They were in a place where the kingdom of anxiety, the Pharaoh was there. Make more bricks, make more bricks, make more bricks. Raise the anxiety to the point of chaos. Now, I confess that part of what Paul is also discussing there, and that is the fact that when they get out of the wilderness, what do they want to do? They want to get back to Egypt. Why do you want to go back? Belonging for us is this wonderful idea of the fact that we want to be a place of safety. We want to be a place of nurture. We want a place where our youth and our young adults can come in here and be allowed to be themselves without subjecting them to rigorous, dogmatic tests of who it is that they are. Christ has broken down the walls. All are welcome here. All are welcome. We also remind ourselves that, as Susan talked about, we're saying we want to draw the circle wide. What is it that the missionaries are doing in Galatians? They're trying to draw the circle tighter, draw the circle smaller. And we want to step back and say, no, we want to draw that circle wide. Hilltop manifests believing. How do we do that? We do that in part through your faithful Sunday attendance. We have one of the higher ratios of attendance on a Sunday morning to the membership we have. That indicates a level of belief, a level of importance that this has for you. We're going to have some people join this morning. I think it's important for people to join. It's the indicator visibly to the world around them that we have moved from this place of only belonging to wanting to deepen our relationship. We believe in Hilltop. We believe in what Hilltop is doing. We believe in this community in some kind of way to be able to make that more extended statement. But we also deepen our believing with Wednesday afternoon studies on archaeology. We deepen our belief on Sunday mornings where we go and look at prophets and minor prophets and go look at what it is that John Wesley would say for us of how it is that we go and leave the world. We come in on Monday night class as opposed to Sunday morning class, and we talk about the Bible, and we come in on Tuesday afternoons and deepening our knowledge, deepening our belief structure. You can go out to the end of the pier with a rock, and you can take that rock and you can do one of two things with it. One time you can take that rock and you can cast it in such a way that it causes hundreds of ripples out there because it skips out there on the water, getting sort of surface knowledge. Or you can walk out to the end of the pier with the same rock, go to the end of the pier, you can drop it goes deep. Belief is about going deep. It's about deepening your knowledge in such a way that you understand the context of how Jesus is talking. You understand who it is that we're talking about when we talk about Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Those are all characters that you know who they are and recognize them. Hilltop manifests becoming. I want to tell you two stories. First is a story about Hilltop itself. We haven't always been here at 985 East, 10,600 South. We were once over about 72nd or 74th in Midvale, where we were. And the church decided that it could not become all that God was calling it to be there in that constrained building and constrained parking. No parking, very small building. And all this area around it was all built up. You couldn't develop it anymore. And very, very Exodus-like, they left the kingdom of anxiety and with joy wandered out into this wilderness that included a storefront, included a funeral home, included elements to find their way here to 985 East, 10,600 South. Couldn't be Midvale United Methodist Church anymore because you weren't in Midvale. Although I will say to you, there is a church in Denver that's the Jefferson Avenue United Methodist Church, and it's not on Jefferson Avenue, but that's a separate conversation. They said that we have not become all that God wants us to be. There's still a restlessness in our soul. And this restlessness causes us to want to carry God's message to a larger group. I got a phone call in February of 2012 asking me if I would consider coming to Utah to be a pastor at a church called Hilltop. That phone call included the idea of I'll send you a file. And I'll let you get an idea of how it is that they see themselves. I got the file and I opened it up and I read and I read and I read. And I got this sense of restlessness. This sense of the fact that God had called Hilltop to be more than it was. And the people at Hilltop recognized that. I thought, well, maybe that's just one person's idea. Who knows? So I came from my introduction here. And I showed up and I found a room full of people that were your staff parish relations committee and some of your other key lay leaders that were there. And you know what? The attitude on that piece of paper was conveyed in that room. It existed. There was a restlessness at Hilltop that existed that was palpable, it was measurable. You could see it in the room. You could feel it. You could sense it. God is calling us to be more than we currently are. One person feels that way, 15 people feel that way. I then showed up in the summer of 2012 and I went on a series of conversations, icebreakers, if you will, went around. And you know what? That piece of paper written by one person, that 15 people in that room, it was conveyed by the entire congregation. Over and over and over again, I got this sense of the fact that this was a group of people who believed that God was calling them to more than they were. I think that's a state of becoming. And Hilltop was saying, let's draw the circle wide. Let's just keep drawing that circle wider and wider and wider still. We're still doing that. We go down to Salt Lake Rescue Mission one night a month. We go there and we celebrate Hilltop's relationship, long-standing relationship, about 10 years long, where the praise band's there. I preach those nights. We have 6 or 7 people show up and we serve the homeless. It's a blessing. Our United Methodist Women is in intense, regular relationship with Native Americans in western Colorado and southern Utah. They are helping them become what God wants them to be. I could repeat this. I could repeat various stories over and over and over again where it is that Hilltop is helping those on the margins of society. You are the church in action. You're living out like what Paul was suggesting to the Galatians was important. It's the nature of how you act in God's world. Last week, I came back to you and I talked a little bit about the idea of three forms of grace. For those of you that weren't here, let me do a little quick review. I talked about prevenient grace, that grace which goes on before, the pre-event grace, the grace that nurtures and sustains us before we bend the arc of our lives to God's arc. Prevenient grace. It's there nourishing us, nurturing us, floating us along in God's love before we even know it's there. We talk about justifying grace, the grace that frees us so that we can leave the crud in our life on the altar, on the communion table, where we can say, this is what separates us from life. This is what separates us from a full life. And God says, you have been found not guilty. Take all that stuff that you think you're carrying around and give it back to God. And it happens in an instant, in a nanosecond. And the shortest possible unit of measure you can come up with, you move from a state of depravity to a state of excellence. Finally, you have this idea of sanctification, this idea of holiness. Methodism is a holiness movement. It's a movement about bringing people from where they are to a place where God wants them to be. We've heard that before in this last 20 minutes. It's a chance for us to stop and celebrate and understand that God invites us to a higher place. What John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was very much a believer of that passage out of James, where faith without works is straw. It's worthless. He wants to see both that are there. I wonder if this idea of the grace that goes on before, this prevenient grace, isn't the nature of belonging. I wonder if this element of justification, of the fact that we say to God, God, I want to bend the arc of my life to your arc. I wonder if that's not a nature of belief, of believing. And I wonder if this idea of sanctification, of moving towards holiness, isn't an element of becoming. We all along had those three active voice verbs that were there. To belong, to believe, to become. Why? Hilltop. I would say to you, Hilltop is a place where we aspire to invite all to belong. There's no walls here. We haven't erected any walls. Everybody who would like to come be part of this community is welcome. And we invite you to go deeper, to become a place to believe, accepting you as you are, but still inviting you to go deeper in that message. And finally, we invite you to come in and know that you're invited to become what God wants you to do. That passage I read to you from Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. The immediate material right before that is this wonderful idea that Paul lays out there, that all of us have got gifts. All of us are gifted in some kind of way. We're going to bring some people in the church in a few minutes, and we're going to go through some of the gifts that they have. Everybody has gifts that they can contribute and use within the church. Now, I think Paul is offering some thoughts. We can offer some thoughts about what it is we don't know that Paul is driving at, but there's something that Paul is driving at that we know. And that is the fact that we're all children of God. We're all heirs to the testimony of this book. The testimony of this book, which is transformative in its power. We can connect in this book with Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and Rebecca and Hagar and Ruth and all of those characters that are there. We're all their children by our faith. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may we be that church that Jesus and Paul and so many others have laid out for us, a church to where all are invited to become all that you would have them be. Let us be able to see your grace in such a way that it allows us to be separated from the stuff that we have done before in our lives. And we have been set free to serve you in the world. Lord, let this be a place where all are invited to belong, all are invited to deepen their knowledge, and all are invited to become that which you have laid out for them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all of God's children say. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah.
985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.